Tonight, the main thing is what you're going to experience after my presentation. My presentation is going to be a brief introduction to the process and to some of the biblical principles that we are grounded on as we start house churches or plant new churches. In the North American Lutheran Church, there are multiple ways of starting new churches as an entry into the mission field for us. And there are at least five of them. But tonight, what we're going to capitalize on, or the main thing that we're going to focus on, is house churches. So implanting new churches, starting new churches. The first one is what we call a mission post, where we start with one person or one family somewhere throughout the United States and Canada, and then house churches, and then mission fellowships, and then mission congregations. The only difference between mission fellowships and mission congregations is mission congregations will have a full-time mission pastor, and mission fellowships are just fellowships gathering without a pastor or without a full-time pastor. And then churches branching out and starting second campus or a satellite campus or something like that as a fifth entryway. So there are five ways we enter into a new missional territory as a mission post or as a house church or a mission fellowship or a mission congregation or branching out of existing congregations. So tonight, I would like to just focus on some points as an introduction, as an entry into planting new churches. And I'm going to be based on Matthew chapter 10. And Matthew chapter 10 is simply a handbook on discipleship and church planting. So what I encourage you is, as pastors and as leaders, Matthew chapter 10 comes really in the middle of the Gospel of Matthew that lays down where Christ gives clear instructions, biblical, organic instructions on planting new churches, on discipleship and apostolic ministry. So I call Matthew chapter 10 as our apostolic handbook. So in Matthew chapter 10, starting from verse 1, I will lift up few points, and then you will go into various groups and into various rooms. Jenny will give us a guidance on how we start, on how we do this house church experience. We're going to experience house church on a practical level tonight. So as we enter into the scripture in Matthew chapter 10, I would like to start with a word of prayer. Would you pray with me, please? Almighty and everlasting Father, we give you thanks for this time, for a wonderful day that you have given us, for the joy, for the laughter, for the fellowship, for the opportunities to learn, for the workshops, for outstanding moments of sharing and learning from one another. Tonight we come to sit at your feet one more time, to learn from you, to open our hearts and our minds and our soul, to receive from you. For without you, we are empty. We ask you to speak to us, to guide us, and lead us and teach us. I pray that you think through my mind and speak through my vocal cords, none of me, but all of you in this place, for your glory, in the mighty name of Jesus. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Very good. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus spoke a profound statement. He said, I will build my church. I will build my church. It's I and it's my. So he is the builder and he is the owner of the church. That is a very profound statement that is spoken about the church in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16. So when it comes to churches, Jesus is the one who builds, and he is the one who owns the church. Then now the question is, what is our role? What's my role? What's my task in this activity? The first one is our call to mission. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, it says, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him. This is called to the person of Christ and not to the organization or to the institution. He called his disciples to himself. The problem with a lot of institutional thinking is we think that we are called to the institution. It becomes contractual, employment, salary, benefit, all of those kinds of things, rather than a relationship. Jesus called his disciples to himself. We are called to a person. Before we talk about church planting, before we talk about house churches, before we talk about anything, we have to examine our relationship with the person of Jesus. Do you know him? Do you know his voice? He said, my disciples know my voice, not my words. There are a lot of people who know in and out of the words. They read, they understand the theology, but they have never heard of the living voice of Jesus. That is a relationship language, faith language, spiritual language. So the first one is really settling the question of call. You can't plant a house church if you are not called to the person of Jesus. If you are an institutional or organizational mentality, we can't plant a house church. Number two, core leadership formation. This is critical. So in order for us to form or to plant a church, the second key point is, who do I do this with? Who are my partners? Very interestingly, in Matthew chapter 10, he lists their names very clearly. Leadership is not an ideal theory. It is people. Leaders are individuals. If you're talking about leadership, we should not talk in general terms. We have to talk about people. These are my leaders. With their weaknesses, with their strengths, with their knowledge, with their shortcomings, with their education or lack of education, this is what I'm working with. These are who I am. And these are my guys. And Jesus calls their name. Simon, Andrew, Thomas, Philip, Peter, John, James. These are who they are. Some of them like each other. Some don't like each other. Some are educated, uneducated. Some are rich, some are poor. Some come from Galilee and one come from Judea. 11 of them are called from the north. One is called from the south. But this is what I'm working with. These are my guys. Who are your leaders? Who are the core leaders? Raising up the original core group of leaders is critical to shape the culture and direction of the mission. Leadership, leadership, leadership. Our mission is as good as our leaders. Our effectiveness and our fruitfulness in mission is as good as our leaders. We can have a good plan, but if we don't have good leaders, it's just a good plan. Third, Jesus sends out. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instruction. Sent out is very important. The direction outward is the only direction of mission. Outward. Out. Just going out. If we are talking about inside mission, about inside, inward thinking, usually that is a symbol for a Lutheran description of sin. Inward. Inward. Outward. Building relationship, connection, expanding our horizon. Fourth, site selection is a critical thing. Having a very targeted missional territory. This TMT is a big question. I'll say a little more about it tomorrow. TMT. What is your TMT, or what is your targeted missional territory? In Matthew chapter 10, verse 4, Jesus was very clear. Verse 5, actually. Jesus said, do not go to the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Don't go there. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. Yes, we are sent to the whole world, but there are specific callings for us. Wherever you are, which corner, which group, which culture, which language, which area, select and be very specific about your targeted missional territory. Knowing where to go and where not to go is a critical skill in defining the success of the mission. Spending our money and energy at the wrong place is a great loss. So, what is God calling us to do? Where is God calling us to be? What is the specific targeted missional territory that the Lord is calling us to do? So, site selection in house churches or in any kind of house, in any kind of church planting, is critical. And in order for us to find exactly where the Lord has placed us, there is a spiritual discipline. There is also a research part. Spiritually, praying and asking God to lead us and guide us. And intellectually, doing the research, demographics. There are things what we call trend reading, context mapping, demographic study, and all kinds of research that needs to really dig and emphasize and research and know the places. There is no company that establishes, whether it is a restaurant or a service industry or real estate or wherever and whatever happens, they all do deep, intentional research. Doing that research is good. At the same time, research plus prayer. Asking God to lead us. So site selection is critical. The fifth question is, what is the message? We have to have a very simple, clear message. Jesus was an expert in simplifying messages that were going out. What is our message? So that the whole congregation can go out and explain their faith. What is the message? He says in Matthew 10 verse 7, I love that place. As you go, proclaim this message. As you go, proclaim this message. What is the message? Exactly. You know, we have to, whenever we go out and share, sharing our faith should be simple. What is the message? And who is the message? And what are we telling people? And why are we in mission? What is the good news that we carry? What is the good news that we share? Simple, clear, short, precise, something that can be shared in a short way. There was an evangelist who tried to witness to a politician, a very, very famous politician. And this evangelist came from Ethiopia, and this politician was running for the president of the United States. And he said, I wanted to witness Christ to this candidate, and I've been praying for the opportunity. And he was campaigning in Florida, and this evangelist lives in Florida. So he said, oh, my prayer is being answered. He comes to Florida. And he showed up at the meeting place, and it was a special fundraiser. Not everybody was invited in. You have to have a special card. They said, you can't come in. He did not give up. He was roaming around the building the whole day, begging them to come in. They said, no, you can't come in. No, you can't come in. Finally, the meeting was to start, and there were some people who did not show up, so the front row was empty. And they said, there was a guy who was wandering around to come in, and they said, let him in. Where does he sit? At the front row. Says, Lord is answering my prayer. I'm getting closer and closer. He said, how can I get close to this guy? And they were waiting and waiting until the presidential candidate comes in. He was getting ready to come in. He said, I was wandering outside. I didn't get a chance to go to the restroom. He asked the ushers, can I go to the restroom? They showed him to the restroom. He was sitting at the front row. They took him to the special restroom. And he walks into the special restroom. The candidate was coming out of the special restroom. He found him and he shook his hand. And he said, presidential candidate Barack Obama, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you. As soon as I said that, he said, the bodyguard came and kicked me out. By that time, I was done with my sermon. The sermon was finished. Short, precise message. That can be said in 5 seconds. How are we going to train our people to present Christian message in simplicity, clarity, in brief ways, so that our people would not think that Christian message is so complicated that you have to have a master's of divinity to go out and present? How can we simplify the message? 6. Ooh. Yes. And then what is the mission? The mission is going to be done on both sides. Word and action. Jesus said, go and proclaim the gospel and heal the sick. Proclaim the gospel and heal the sick. Proclaim the gospel and touch the brokenhearted. Do something with your mouth. Do something with your hand. The mission is flying with two wings, doing something on both sides of our life. What is the mission? Word and action. Now, this is the biggest complexity in mission. The economics of mission. How do we fund the mission of Jesus Christ? That's where a lot of people are stuck, because mission is expensive. Why are we not planting churches? We don't have the money for it. Mission is expensive. So how can we simplify that? In Matthew 10, Jesus gave them this in the handbook of mission and in the handbook of ministry. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey, or extra shirts or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. In the institutional model of the church planting, economics drives mission. In the movement model, mission drives church economics. So it is how we think about mission that determines the release, the presence, or the absence of resources in our mission field. One of the reasons we in the North American Lutheran Church don't plant churches from the national church is we don't want to take all the resources from the congregations. We don't want to tell congregations, send us the money, we will do the mission. No. You keep the money, you do the mission. The resources are in your hands, the opportunities are in your hands. You are at the front line of mission. You drive that missional economics. Jesus was very, very clear that mission drives the mission economics, and not the finance that drives mission. Unless we see money in the bank, we're not going to start mission. Because we don't have money, there is no mission. The wealthiest part of the world is not growing in Christianity. The poorest part of the world is growing in Christianity. That says something about the economics of mission. So, money is not going to fuel the speed and the spreading of mission. So, money should never be an excuse not to plant churches. Not to plant churches. Jesus wants us to start something and see if he provides or not. Start something that is of God and see if it dies for lack of resources. Never. It will never die. Whatever God starts, whatever God leads, will always be resourced by God himself. 8. How do we find the people? Where are the people? Every Sunday, more than 250 million people don't go to church. How can we find them? Where are they? Why are they not coming? How can't we attract them if they're not coming to church? Why not? Jesus gives us a 4 simple step. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. Number one, he said, enter towns and villages. Go out. Go out. Go out. Go out. Second, search for a worthy person. How do we search? Greet them. Talk to them. And when you greet them, it's not just a casual greeting. How are you doing? How is the weather today? Or how are you feeling today? When you greet them with the word of God. If they receive it, if you find a worthy person, find where they live. Deepen the relationship. Search, find, and then stay there until you leave, if they receive you. That means establish relationship, discipleship. Simple. Until you enter, you will not search. Until you search, you will not find. Until you'll find, you have nowhere to stay. Simple four process. Jesus said, go from town to town, from town to town. Some will receive you. Some will reject you. Some will welcome you. Some will not welcome you. But you just keep going. And if you find a worthy person, stay there. Deepen the relationship. Build the relationship. Love them. Care for them. Serve them. Jenny's saying, stop. I have one more point. Mission field complexity. Mission field is complex. Matthew 10:16. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Mission field is not easy. It's complex. That's what we call the MCN. MCN is missional complexity navigation. To navigating through that complex situation, he says, be as shrewd as a snake and as innocent as doves. That is to navigate through the complexity of the mission field. One has to develop a mission field complexity navigation system. Be prepared, for it is not easy. You have to know how to play with the politicians and the businessmen and the statisticians and media and the culture and academia and the youth and women and marriage and the economics and the changing trends and all kinds of situations that are coming your way. Don't be naive, but learn how to navigate the complex mission field system. Be aware of the situation and the circumstances. 10, mission field will always have resistance. This is given. It's not if. It will always be there. There is no missional territory that you can occupy without fighting. There is no ground that will be given to you, that will be released to you. Your town, your village, one person at a time. You have to fight for every soul. That's why Jesus said, be on your guard. You will be handed over to, not you may be. He's not saying you probably will be. He said, no. You will be handed over to local councils and be flogged in your synagogue. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings and witnesses to them. I'm now singing to the choir. Most of you have gone through that kind of persecution. Tertullian said, Christianity without persecution is abnormal. Satan, the world, sin will always resist and fight back. Fear not, and don't be surprised if you are fought back, but be ready. Rely on the Holy Spirit. Rely on the Holy Spirit. This is the master guidance for the work. Jesus said, please, don't worry. Worry is the greatest enemy of mission. If you are worried about your church, you can never plan mission out of crisis. If you are planning mission because your congregation is in crisis, it is getting out of crisis mode. Crisis never drives mission. Faith in Christ drives mission. So don't worry. Be ready to receive help from the Lord. Always help is on the way. These are some of the basic principles that we can find biblically from Matthew chapter 10. Please continue to study Matthew chapter 10. It is a handbook. It's a biblical handbook for church planters. Tonight, we will experience church planting in various ways. In your mission districts, in your areas, let's encourage people, mobilize people, lead people into the mission field so that they can plant churches. You are wonderful. I wish I can continue so that we can continue the whole night. But I have to obey my boss, Jenny. Thank you very much.